All right, we have a different opinion on the Bob Dylan show. Elkant Wolgamott, who has been doing this for a long time for the Lincoln Journal Star,
yep.
He said it's Dylan's best show in years at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Somebody that was there in our listening audience said, not so fast.
Yeah, I actually said everybody that he knew that went to the show left early on Saturday. He said, I saw him 10, 20, and 40 years ago, and the last two were horrible. But he was great in the 70s. I can't comment. I wasn't there.
Yeah, usually Al Kent's pretty harsh. He said it was okay.
And maybe that was in conjunction to the last couple of times he's been here.
I don't think I've ever walked out of a concert. I know that I've never walked out of a movie. I've fallen asleep in a movie a couple of times. One was on a date. And it had nothing to do with the movie or who I was with. I was so tired, and I didn't want to turn it down. And then once I turned out the lights, and we were in the comfy movie seats, I mean, this was back in my active dating days. Yeah, I was out like a light. But I don't know. Like, so I've had a couple of friends say that Joker was too dark for them, and they got up and left.
Huh.
I didn't mind it. I wouldn't go back and see it again, but I was okay. But I don't know that I've ever left a concert early either.
I've left one concert early, and I've left one movie early.
What concert?
It was a active rock concert. The last band, the headlining band, was their name is Sleeping with Sirens. I do not care for Sleeping with Sirens, but they're two opening bands, Tonight Alive and State Champs.
Oh, of course.
Two of my favorite bands, so I did leave before the headlining. But I do regret it because a lot of people said that they put on a really good show.
I go back. There's one movie I tried to leave early when I was in eighth grade. We went on a field trip for Gandhi. So like the St. Pius the 10th kids.
Yeah.
And Gandhi was like 4 days long. I mean, when you're that age and you just want to get the heck out of there. Like, try to have my parents come pick me up. We went to movie theater downtown.
I had to look up the name of the movie that I walked out on, but it came out in 2004. The movie Envy. You ever hear of it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I walked out on it.
But you know what? I think it for me, growing up in a sports family, we never left games early.
Yeah.
Like, I go to a baseball game, I stay there for all nine innings or the extra innings.
No matter the score, right?
Yep. I never left. Like, my dad never said, hey, let's beat traffic. Let's get out of here. We stayed the entire game. I think that's why I even like stick around when they start rolling the credits at movies.
Marvel movies have really gotten that. Like, to me, no matter what movie I go to, I'm staying until all the credits are gone.
Yeah, shout out Walt Sharp for ingraining in me that you don't leave early. So I'm not one of those people that at a basketball game, because that's coming up here in 2 weeks from tomorrow when we get to have those discussions. I'm not one of those people that get up and leave before the game is over.
If anything, I'm looking at the people who are leaving and seeing if I can take those seats below.
Because I'm also probably very frugal. I'm like, yeah, I know what I paid for my ticket. I'm not leaving. That's why I'd have a hard time leaving a concert.
Same. Even like here at the radio station, I might get slid some tickets here and there. But even then, I'm staying for the whole thing. Staying for the whole thing.
Mail lady Lisa says, I've never left a concert, but I fell asleep during Styx. How do you fall asleep at a concert?
That is
unless
hard.
You're sitting like a long way away and the sound isn't very good.
Oh, that's good. Falling asleep at a concert, that's good.
What do we got? Everybody's together, right? This on the movie theater?
Yeah.
Now the movie theaters these days have those really, really nice seats that you just kind of sink into and you can recline. That's dangerous.
I can't eat before movies. I promise you, I will be out like a light.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, stuff from Lincoln. Again, if you're just tuning in, the Nebraska depth chart does not have Maurice Washington listed as a starter, so his availability for this week is probably up in the air, but he is still included on the roster that is inside of the game notes. And he is also included as a, they have players each have bios, players that play a lot. He is still included in that. So we'll get an update from the head coach on the availability of Maurice Washington this weekend. Lane McCallum is still listed as the starting place kicker. Barrett Pickering is the backup place kicker on the depth chart. Other than that, it's no real major changes. Adrian Martinez is listed as the number one quarterback. Wandale Robinson is still listed as the number one wide receiver. Robinson is also listed as the number one kick returner. He's also involved in punt returns. So we'll see what the availability is of both the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the running back. All things to be discussed. You'd think by the head coach, maybe not. A little gamesmanship. Wait until game time decision before Indiana, which they're going to do that with their quarterback. Michael Penix was knocked out of the game by Maryland on Saturday. Tom Allen saying today it's a game time decision. They'll get both of them ready, and then they'll make the determination on Saturday who's going to play. A little bit different from Nick Saban, who immediately after the game against Tennessee the other night addressed the injury situation. Most coaches are paranoid. They don't want to give out that kind of information, either to protect the player or there's not into doing that. Saban was honest, said this is what happened to Tua. This is how long he's going to be out. Take away distractions, take away media asking players about other players' injuries. One other thing that I've teased that I want to touch on today, we might have to carry this over tomorrow, Jeremy Pruitt and his grabbing the face mask of his quarterback on Saturday night. If you're sitting in the stands and you grew up in an era where that happened regularly and no one batted an eye, but maybe now that you're a parent and your son commits a mistake on the field, you might say, okay, I expect him to be dressed down by the coach. Probably going to be some swearing in there. But once the coach touches your son, grabs their face mask, how do you react? If that happened to you as an adult, now you see it happen to your son, how do you react? Jeremy Pruitt is getting from both sides. Some are like, that's great. You teach the kid a lesson. Others like, you touched him. Hands off. And for a guy that's kind of already under some fire in Knoxville, that was not a good look. Revs high. There were moments during that game where I thought he was going to lose it, either hollering at the officials or hollering at the play on the field, and then grabbed his player's face mask in an also a time and age where everything is on camera. Back in the days, the old Bear Bryant, not everything was on camera. It was only stories to be told later after you were long gone from Bear Bryant as your head coach. This was on camera. This has become a discussion point because we haven't seen a lot of coaches grabbing players' face masks in public and yanking them around like happened in that situation. All right, moment of the day is coming up next.